You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome. Wait, hold on.
Already, we're whatever. Off. That's it.
No, it's all good. Yeah, welcome everybody to Clock Radio. That's what happens when you miss a week, right? Welcome everybody to Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on all socials at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. Not all socials, but the ones that matter. More important than that, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. We're also on Facebook. We're also on Instagram at CRS Podcast. You can get all previous episodes at clockradiospeakers.com, powered by Tumblr. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. Google Play, everywhere you get podcasts except for SoundCloud, and you know why. And what's the clock radio without the speakers? Doc Beats here. What's up, man?
Things are good, man. Y'all can follow me if you want on Twitter at @Doc_Beats. That's not a Z, but like Armand said, just make sure you follow the show. And shout out to our Patreon subscribers as always, patreon.com/CRS podcast, where we do 20, 25 minutes roughly every week, where it's Armand and I joking and attempting to figure the show. No, it was more than attempting to figure the show out. You know, we talked about some stuff this week. Actually, we talked about Pharrell's Something in the Water festival, and yeah. So so Armand, what are we talking about this week?
Well, before I introduce our guest, I just got an email for some free tickets. You know, I get my veterans tickets.
Oh,
May 2nd, New Kids on the Block, the mixtape tour.
Okay, tell me who's on the list.
It's just New Kids on the Block.
No, hold on.
They're performing mixtape. Apparently, New Kids on the Block got a Gangsta Grills, a Clue tape, or something. They got like freestyles or something. They redoing other people's records.
No. Do you want to know who? So I'm looking at their site right now. Salt and Pepper.
Okay.
Tiffany. Wow.
Tiffany.
Debbie Gibson.
Okay.
And Naughty by Nature. Oh, Naughty by Nature.
Naughty by Nature? Not because I hate you?
So you're doing... this is Cincinnati, right?
Yep.
Okay. Let me tell you. Going to the site right now. Let's see if they say who's on the... Yeah, it's all of them. So that's the whole list. Oh, man. How much are they trying to sell you tickets for?
No, for vet tickets. I get them for free.
Oh, for free.
Yeah.
I mean... You can show up for... Well, it's a little far to drive for Naughty by Nature only.
Yeah, no. There's a bunch of people coming to Ohio in the next few weeks. DMX is coming, Maya's coming, Music Soul Child, John B, a bunch of random people that I would like to see in concert more than Naughty by Nature. Though I love Naughty by Nature. Like, nah, I'm good. So we have a special guest on the phone. If you are familiar with my music, my early music, you know this guy. And we have him as an exclusive because I really haven't heard anybody offer their perspective on the B-Sides 2 show that happened this weekend at Webster Hall. So we've got my man, Rich Tunes, on the line. Rich, what is up, my guy?
You. What up, people? What's going on? Happy to be here. I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Yo, you're so funny, man.
So, Rich, did you end up having to, like donate a kidney, or how difficult was it to obtain these tickets, man?
Listen, so I have an American Express card. So first I'll backtrack and say, you know, Armand and I had this pact when Jay did the first B-side, we said, you know what, if and when he ever does one again, we're in there, we're going, and that's it. You know, I give him a pass because he missed for a valid reason. I mean, it was his son's first school play, which makes me look, Armand, since you've left, Armand was just here down. I live in Orlando. Armand's son, who's my godson, also lives down here in Orlando. So Armand flew down last week, you know, for a couple of days. It was a quick in and out trip. We go to his son's play and all this kind of stuff. Ever since you left, I've been questioning whether I'm ready or not to be a parent. And here's why. Because I put myself in your position, and this is how I rationalized this. I said, look, I mean, he's going to have a school play at least seven more. And the way, absolutely, as good as he did in that play last week, he's got a future in acting, right?
Yeah.
We don't know if Jay's doing another B-side. So I put myself in you. I give you a lot of credit, man, because I think I would have I think I would have Omaha'd and made it happen.
Bruh.
But so I have the American Express card, and I was so hyped as soon as I found out. I told my wife immediately. Now, my wife and I have been married 13 years. And I'm very passive. Armand can tell you I'm probably one of the most passive people you'll ever meet. But as soon as this came out, I shot her a text. I shot her the screenshot and I said, I'm going. I didn't even ask. I didn't even ask. I said, right. I'm going. Point blank, period. So I missed out on the pre-sale the day before with the American Express card. Those tickets went quick. And then, so I had to wait, and I was like, I really didn't have much time to think about it. So I missed the pre-sale, and then immediately those tickets went up on StubHub. So I spent a lot of money on these tickets, man. Spent a lot of money on these tickets, but it was resale. Now the trade-off was, I have enough miles to where my trip was basically covered for with my miles.
Beautiful.
So I rationalized it in my head by saying, well, if I had to pay for the ticket plus the miles, I pay for the show ticket plus my plane ticket, you know, it would basically equate to what I spent on the ticket itself.
Right.
You know, so I was like, all right, well, I'm losing, but it's not as bad as it could have been. You know what I'm saying? Or that kind of thing. So got the ticket, and I ain't gonna lie, man. Like, I don't know if it was you, Armand, I texted about. I think I did text you about it. Like, when you was young and you was a teenager and, you know, you do stupid stuff, and immediately after you do something stupid, you feel bad about it. And you like, dang, I'm about to get in trouble. Like, my parents gonna whoop me. Like,
yep.
What's gonna happen? Like, I bought the ticket and I immediately went from being happy to being like, I can't believe I just spent that much money on a ticket. But at this point, I was already in. I was too deep. Yeah. I was already in. I couldn't turn back.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I won't get into like how much you paid, but I know you definitely got like the low end. Like, you got in on a resale right before it really jumped up, because
I got in on a resale quick, and I shot myself in the foot, because there was a ticket that I was originally supposed to buy that I paused for. And when I say a quick second, I mean, in real time, this might have been 5 seconds that I paused and didn't hit the trigger on buying that ticket. That 5 second pause, by the time I clicked the button, that ticket was no longer available. That would save me $200.
Wow. Yep. All it takes.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yep.
Okay.
Once that went away, once that opportunity went away, I pulled the trigger quick on the next one that came available.
So I guess, I don't know, Doc, do you want Rich to go through like his whole experience, like what it was like waiting in line, like what happened when he got in the venue? Like,
yeah, I mean, so I've been to Webster before, at least I don't know what they changed when they renovated, but it's at least before it was general admission. And then there was like an upper level, which I assume is where they put like VIPs.
Right, right. So I was actually standing in line behind a girl that used to work at Webster Hall. She worked at Webster Hall for a few years, she was saying, before it closed down. And she actually lived, she was local. She lived right across the street. And she was like, you know, she was so excited that it was opening, and she was excited to see, like, she was one of the people that she referred to the building as a sheet. You know, she was like, I'm excited to see how she looks, you know. And then people were talking about how it was run down before. And she was like, the girl was basically saying, well, she's a 100-year-old building. You know, she's been open since 1890. She just needed a facelift and things like that. And so I got a chance to walk in. She was literally right in front of me in line. So I walked in right behind her, and to see her face when she walked in, as you know, she was real surprised. Like, she had that wow look on her face. So that let me know that it looked drastically different from the way it did look. And it looked, I never went in Webster Hall before. This is my first time going there. So I never been in there before. But I mean, everything looked modernized. The bar looked newer, and everything like that. So stuff looked nice. Now, once you get, so Doc, you've been in there. There's like a main level, and then you go up some stairs to the upper level.
Yeah.
And the stage was on that upper level. But then you go up another set of stairs to get up to the VIP level.
Right.
That still looked, you know, the main level, when you look up to where like the VIPs are up in the balcony area, that still looked a little outdated or whatever. But all in all, the venue wasn't bad at all, man.
So obviously it was, let me ask you this. How early were you in line?
All right. So this is basically what happened. So I shot down to the area cause I didn't know. My thought process on this was, look, I bought this ticket. I flew up. I've done all this. So I'm going to make it worth it. And I'm going to get there, you know, try and be in line somewhat early to get as close to the stage as possible to make my trip as worth it as possible. You know, last thing I want to do is be stuck way in the back and those kind of things. So the doors were said they were going to open at 7. I got to the area, that area of the village. I probably got there around 4:45, right? So now I walked right in front of the venue. And I was shocked that there was not a single person in front of the venue.
Wow.
So I'm like, well, this is weird. And they didn't have, they had NYPD on all four corners, right? But there was not a single person in front of the venue. So I said, this is weird. Like, it's 4:45. Like, you know, doors open in 2 hours. I figured there would have been some diehard fans that would have been there early, you know, trying to make sure they, so it just didn't make sense to me. So I kept walking. And I said, well, let me go get a bite to eat. So I went to this little Irish bar, got me a salad, and then I walked back. And now it's like 5:15. There's still nobody in line. I'm like, this is crazy. It's an hour. I'm like, something's got to be wrong here. So, Doc, I don't know if you remember from when you was there, but down the block from Webster Hall, there's a movie theater, right?
Okay.
It's right on the corner. And there was a line of people. When I got there at about 4:45, there was maybe about 10 people in line, right? In that line. But it's down the block and it sits right in front of a movie theater. Now, I know what's that? The Avengers movie just came out. And I know, you know, people are big on that. So I thought these people were sitting here for the movie. Now, when I came back the second time, I noticed there were still the same people in line. And I was like, well, wait a minute. You know, these people would have went inside or whatever by now. So I asked one of the dudes in line, I said, yo, are y'all here for movie or for the show? He said, no, we're here for the show. By this time, the line grew from, I mean, my guesstimate when I walked past the first time was that there was maybe 10 to 15 people in line. By this point, and I sent Armand the video, actually, but when I got there, I mean, it wasn't that bad. There was maybe about, I'd say maybe somewhere around 40 to 50 people in front of me at this point. So I get in line. But then immediately afterwards, so by now it's like 5:20, 5:30. Within 10 minutes, I kid you not, I made it just in time. The line was down the block and around the corner within 10 minutes. Yeah. So I got lucky, man. Thank goodness I figured that out. Although a little bit late, but it wasn't too bad.
So how long between getting in the venue and Jay coming out, like what was the wait like and what was going on during the wait?
Look, man, it was until Jay went on stage, it was a horrible experience. I got online around, you know, somewhere around 5:15, 5:20 or whatever, something like that. So you're standing in line and I had to piss really bad. Not really bad, but I had to piss. So I was like, well, I got to hold my piss. So I'm not going to leave out of line and get five. So
you came all this way.
But this is how a bad situation becomes worse. So the doors didn't actually open until 7:30. So that's 2 hours that you're waiting outside right there, right? So you wait outside 2 hours and then, you know, it was supposed to be a rainy day all day in New York. It did rain for the majority of the day, but then from the point when I got online, it wasn't raining, so it wasn't that bad. But probably around 7:10, it started drizzling and then it started raining harder. So like the last 20 minutes, you were just in rain and, you know, you're getting wet. Thank goodness I had a windbreaker on, so it wasn't that bad. But you're already, you know, but yeah, so 2 hours out there, then you go inside and you get to the you know, I found luckily Armand can tell you, Doc, I sent some videos. I was literally right there in front of the stage. You know, the bad part about that is, so 2 hours holding my piss outside. Now Clark Kent plays for 3 hours. Hours from 7:30 to 10:30. Clark Kent pays. And it's not a situation where, keep in mind, it's a standing room only. So it's not a situation where you can leave and come back and get back to your spot easy. Like if you leave, it's gonna be tough to get back to your spot. There was actually a dude.
You need a friend.
Yeah, exactly. we actually told this dude, it was a skinny dude that was trying to leave to go get a drink or something like that. And me and this other dude that was standing next to me, he was like, yo, you should really rethink this, because it was packed at this point. I mean, when I say packed, like, it's shoulder to shoulder. Like, if I wanted to bend over and stretch my back, you know what I'm saying, pause, I couldn't do that if I wanted to. Like, it was that tight, you know. So we told dude, you probably shouldn't leave. And he left, and we never saw dude again for the rest of the night. He couldn't make his way back in. So I wasn't about to leave. You know, I spent all this money. I already done dealt with all this stuff. Like, I'm like, you know what? I'm staying right here. So I'm not going anywhere. So yeah, man, that's basically what I did. I stayed, I held my piss for another 3 hours while Clark Kent DJed. And then Jay comes on. Jay went on at 10:30 and he performed for 2 hours straight. Exactly 2 hours. Show was done at 12:30. So all in all, I stood for 7 hours straight, 2 hours outside, 3 hours while Clark Kent played, and then 2 hours with Jay. And so I stood for 7 hours and I held my piss for 7 hours. Incredible. It's incredible.
God bless you.
So you obviously, I mean, you wanted to do this because, you know, the idea of a B-side show, right? It's all the songs that Jay is doing that the fans really want to hear, not just all the singles. So
exactly.
Going in, was there a particular song that you were just like, I just want to hear this one song live?
Yes, there was. I had a list.
Okay.
I had my list. My list, and I exchanged some messages with Armand about this, but somehow, some way was on there. Welcome to New York City was on there.
Wow.
I think there was a few going in. I'm surprised. Come and Get Me. Armand knows how much I love Come and Get Me. I've talked to him about this for a long time.
That's so right.
I was hoping to get it, but I really didn't think he would do it. But I would say out of the ones that he did that I was really looking forward to, that I was hoping that he did, that would be Somehow, Someway and Welcome to New York City.
So he does Somehow, Someway fairly quickly. Okay, so here's a question about the crowd. Like, from people's live streams and from people's videos, the complaint that I saw on social media was that the crowd was kind of weak. Like, they weren't hyped for a Jay show. Was that your experience? Were you surrounded by a bunch of like sort of pretentious hipsters that wanted to be there? Or was it like a bunch of rabid Jay fans that knew all the words and were really there for B-sides experience?
Look, man, there was a lot of people there that knew a lot of the words. Now, I guess the only thing I could really say as far as people maybe not seeming as excited, everybody around me was hyped. But you got to remember, to be there until Jay went on was an uncomfortable experience. You're standing online, you're standing there around a bunch of people. Like, literally, it was to the point where right before Jay went on, because at first they were saying, the rumor was he was going to go on at 9:30. And I was thinking somewhere around 9:30. I figured, okay, 2 hours in between, 9:30. Then 10 o'clock comes, he still don't go on. And then the past 10 and he still don't go on. And then you're like, yo, what time is this dude going on? Like, it got uncomfortable. And not for nothing, like, you know, I love Clark Kent and everything, but, you know, and he played a good set, but you can definitely tell that Clark Kent is not DJing in venues regularly today, right? Because his the music he was playing, like, it wasn't, I don't know, some stuff he was playing had us, like, everybody was hyped and feeling it and those types of things. And then, you know, it's a New York crowd and he started playing a lot of like West Coast, California stuff and playing like, you know, Outkast and things like that. And it's just stuff that wasn't hitting with people. And so, you know, people's highs, it was like, he played a couple songs, you get high and then it dropped back down low. So, I mean, I think it was just an uncomfortable evening. So, until Jay went on, it was like, all right, finally Jay's on, you know, that kind of thing and stuff like that. But everybody that was around me was into it. You know, a lot of people knew a lot of the words. I was surprised. The one that caught me by surprise the most, okay, Clark Kent said, and I text Armand this beforehand, I said, DJ said he's known Jay 30 years and he's never seen anything like this before. He said the whole set is going to be dark and gutter the whole night. You know, that's what Jay's set is going to be like, right? So I'm like, okay, well, how dark and gutter is this going to get? So when you talk about coming out of doing the prelude, then he does Come and Get Me. As soon as, excuse me, what you call? he goes into
Jigga Denniga?
Nah, people talking. As soon as people talking. Goes into people talking. That's when I knew. I was like, okay. I was surprised how many people knew all the words to People Talk. Like that caught me by surprise. I was like, okay, all right. People know what they're doing. People know about what's up.
Okay, bet.
Yeah.
So aside from expectations and your personal like favorites, what was like? What were the from where you were standing? What were the songs that people were really like just going crazy for?
Well. Before I get into that, I'll tell you my overall thing about the show from I sit back and I analyze things. I analyze things that maybe a lot of people wouldn't. So my takeaway from the show, obvious first one's flat is Jay is the man, right? My second takeaway is sometimes you don't know whether or not you won. You Armand, I kind of really want to get into you winning last week.
Don't do that.
I'm not gonna do that. But it leads into my point here, right? Sometimes you don't know if you got the upper hand in this situation until years later down the line, right? Mm. And here was my takeaway from one of my biggest takeaways from that night. Jay won in the Jay versus Nas battle, right? Hands down, that can never be debated. And here's why, right? Nas, I don't know if you saw the video footage of it or whatever, but Nas bigged up Jay so much. He called him the great Jay-Z. He called him this, that, and third. And it was like Nas was a sideshow in Jay's whole show. And of course he was. It was Jay's B-side show. And yes, people were hyped when Nas came out, but Nas didn't know the words to his own song. Jay knew Nas's success verse better than Nas did. I mean, he had to help him out on it. He was basically standing in front of him spoon feeding him his own verse, right? So that was a huge takeaway for me. And then I thought it was very ironic. A lot of people don't know this, but Jay's "Come and Get Me" verse was Nas' diss. And so it was ironic that he did that song, that he did that verse with Nas in the building. I didn't think that would happen. As soon as I had hopes that maybe Nas would be there, but once I heard him do "Come and Get Me," I was like, "There's no way Nas is here. There's no way he's doing that," you know. And then, I was wrong on that. But
I mean, Armand and I talked about this before, but like they did "Welcome to New York City" with Nas in the building.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, never mind. Exactly. I'm sorry. I really mean it. Like,
yeah, exactly. No, for real. "Welcome to New York City." Somehow, some way. And I really mean it, really set it off. My personal favorite experience of the night was when Jay did, what verse was that? He did his "Bring It On" verse. He did his "Bring It On" verse over Nas's "New York State of Mind." So, and that went over so well.
Aneurysms of a Young Bobby De Niro.
That was my favorite part of the whole night, because it was just the way Jay spit that verse. He spit it like it was supposed to be there. Like it was there. It went over amazing. Like it was incredible. Like I didn't expect Jay to do a verse on "New York State of Mind." And they went from "Dead Presidents" right into "New York State of Mind." So I was already hyped that here I am watching Jay rap his verse and Nas actually rap his "I'm out for presidents to represent me" hook. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was crazy to me. So I'm like, wow, is this really happening? And then they go right into "New York State of Mind," which has always been one of my, like, my favorite Nas song. One of my favorite Nas songs, I guess I would say. And then and then you go right into Jay doing his "Bring It On" verse over that. And it was incredible, man. That was a great scene, man. I that's my biggest, when I, in retrospect, when I go back and look at it now, that was one of my favorite moments. That "Welcome to New York City," I sent Armand the video with me. Literally, that was the one time that I screamed. Like I was literally like, like I literally did one of those. Like I couldn't hold it or control it, man. That was a great thing. Outside of that, the other thing that I really took away was Tata is that man. Like Jay's man, Tata, he's really that dude. And here's why I say that, right? There was a lot of celebrities in the building. Fabulous and his girl Emily, Jamal Crawford was there. Biggs was there. Joe and Sin were there. It was a million celebrities in the building. And here's what I noticed. I noticed every one of those big celebrities, the first person they go over and dap up is Tata. Now, I always knew, you hear the stories, Tata's Jay's right hand, Tata's the, he's the enforcer, you know, the whole R. Kelly thing and all those kinds of the Jim Jones thing and stuff like that. But it really intrigues me now. Like, I really think they should do some type of a documentary on Tata just to see who this dude is. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was very interesting to me. The other thing I thought was cool when he did Mama Loves Me, Pop Left Me, all that stuff. When he does that song, mm-hmm. his niece, when he says TT, Uncle Jay loves you to death, won't let no trouble come your way, he's pointing and looking up at his niece who's has her phone out and is recording him and is hyped and stuff like that. So, you know, and then after the song was done, he looks up and he was like, TT, I love you, girl, and stuff like that. So I thought little interactions like that I thought were real cool.
Word. So
I respect Beyonce a lot because she showed up, she became visible maybe about 45 minutes or an hour into the show, but nobody from where I was sitting looking up at the balcony, not everybody could see her because she was standing on the side of like a big bodyguard dude or whatever. So at one point she was rapping along with Jay to one of his songs and she was hype. Now I look up and I'm like, oh snap, that's Beyonce. And I tapped the dude next to me and I'm like, yo, I don't know if you want to tell your girl, but Beyonce's right up there or whatever. And he's like, where? So the girl looks up and she's like, oh. So a couple minutes later, you could see more people kind of start figuring out that that's her up there. And what she did was, this is why I respected her, to not take away from Jay. She took a step back and you couldn't see her anymore. She took maybe two or three steps back behind the bodyguard to where, you know, it looked like she wasn't there to the average public. To the average people there, but because of where I was standing, I could look up and see she was like deep in the back. But she fell back when she realized people were kind of looking up at her instead of looking at Jay. So I kind of respected that about her, to not take his shine away, because she's a mega star. You know, Jay's a mega star, but she's a mega, mega star. So
right.
Yeah, I definitely respected that.
So go ahead.
Go ahead, Doc. Nah, Doc, you got it.
I was going to ask, was there one song that was like a total surprise, like you never expect, you're like, really? Jay did that song?
For me, it was, let me think. I want to say for me that the big, I was really surprised that he did People Talk. Mm. I mean, that was the biggest one for me, just because I just really didn't expect it. Oh, and I'm sorry, I don't mean People Talk. I'm sorry, my bad. Don't You Know. That's what I meant. When he did Don't You Know, that's the one I was like, because Don't You Know wasn't even a, I mean, that was a Clue record, if I'm not mistaken. Like,
yeah, it ended up on the Paint in Full soundtrack, but that's a deep record.
That was the biggest one. Like when he did that one, I was like, oh, okay, this is what we on. Like, yeah, that one caught me by surprise. I didn't expect him to do that, you know. And then on top of that, I didn't expect him to bring out Cam. I didn't expect him to bring out Nas. And those types of things. The cool part of the set, so the second half of the second part of the show, so towards the tail end of it, basically what happened was he gave Just Blaze the freedom to kind of play whatever beat he wanted, and then Jay just basically had to rap over it. And he said that, like, after, like, basically you can hear him, Just would throw a beat on, Jay would rap. This is when he was doing like La 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 and all that stuff, like towards the end of the show. But he was only doing the first half of the show, he was doing whole songs. Then when he got to this part of the show, he was just doing one verse. And basically, like, he would rap the verse and then he would turn around and look back, and then Just would play a different beat. And that's when he played the Pump It Up remix and all those things. Mm-hmm. And so then after a couple verses, he says, in between sets, he goes, Just think he's gonna catch me off guard. See, right now he says we didn't rehearse any of this. I told him to play whatever he wants, and I gotta see if I remember the verse. So that was cool. I like that. That's when he ran through. He ran through a bunch of stuff. He ran through, just a whole bunch of stuff, man. I thought it was dope.
So then I'm looking at his set list. So is that how he ended up doing? Like, how did he do the Watcher 2? Apparently was it was. Those, go ahead.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I was gonna say that was one of those too. That was one of those. Just threw it on and he just started rapping.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one to try to catch Jay off guard, right? Because, like, who's expecting the watcher too?
Exactly. Yeah. No, for real. That was crazy.
So the biggest takeaway, it seems like, for the casual viewer of the concert was his freestyle over Somehow, Some Way, where he was talking about Nipsey.
Yeah.
How did that go over in the room? Well, how did both freestyles go over in the room?
Well, the first freestyle was, I know you said the second one was your favorite of the two. The first one was my favorite of the two. One, because it was over although it was just like the baseline or whatever, but it was over Somehow, Some Way, which has always been one of my favorite Jay verses or whatever, Jay songs. And then the overall content of what he was talking about. So a lot of people were really feeling like, you know, once people started figuring out what he was talking about, you can hear the people, and you see it in the video. I don't know if you paid attention to one I sent you, but you hear people like, oh, like, you know, the oohs and ahs became louder and louder as they started figuring out what he was talking about, you know?
Yeah.
Did you
see second, any? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the second one went over really well also. But to me, the better reaction was that first one.
Of course.
Yeah.
Did you see any cameras around there? Because the rumor was or is that, you know, he's trying to sell that footage to Netflix or some sort of streaming service to do similar to what Beyonce did with her Coachella performance.
Man, I did not see a camera until the very end of the show. The very end of the show, I did not see a camera, man. Jay actually, there was a dude that ran, and when I mean the end of the show, like he was basically walking off the stage. There was a dude that ran in front of the stage with like I don't even know what it was. It wasn't a camera. It almost looked like a little handheld camera that he had attached to a selfie stick or something like that. It was weird how it was, but so he ran through with that, and then Jay actually grabbed the stick and like waved it over the crowd. So that was the only camera I saw. I didn't really see any other cameras in the building.
So
aside from homegirl, what's the one that takes his pictures? Ravy B.
Ravy.
Yeah. Aside from her taking pictures, taking pictures behind the stage. I didn't notice any other cameras at all, like as far as video cameras.
So this being Clock Radio Speakers, you know, we sometimes are known for being critical on occasion. So I have to ask, like, was there something that he did that just did not hit at all? Now, granted, this is an audience primed to like pretty much everything Jay's going to do on stage, but were there any songs that were just like, it was kind of like a muted reaction?
A muted reaction.
Or even just a
dud. I'd have to go back. Dud. You know what? A lot of people, there was one guy that really, that he kept screaming, allow me to reintroduce myself. And then everybody kept telling, like he would do this like every 5 or 10 minutes. Like he really wanted Jay to perform PSA. And, you know, everybody else, if you've seen Jay in concert, and I've seen Jay on Watch the Throne. I've seen him. My very first concert was the Hard Knock Life tour was my very first concert. I saw Watch the Throne. I saw On the Run 1 and 2. So I've seen Jay a few times. And actually after the second time, my wife and I just saw On the Run 2. And I told her, I said, look, I'm never interested in seeing Jay in this type of concert. I told her this when he came to Orlando. I was like, the only concert I'm ever concerned about going to see Jay again is if he does a B-side, right? So if you've seen, and I figure most of these people being Jay fans have seen him in a regular concert before. So you've seen PSA a few times. Like, I've seen PSA rock. Now, I love the song, you know. That was the only one that, it didn't get like the big reaction because it's like everyone, if you've seen Jay in concert, you know, you've seen that song, but that was like the one that really didn't go over that well, you know, but he only played in his defense. Like Jay, I think Jay knew that he knew the kind of crowd this was and what they came to see. So he didn't want to do the song. Just threw the beat on. This is when Just was going through and playing the beats or whatever. And he actually stopped Just and he said, nah, that's a cheat code. Don't play that. And then he was like, and then Just played it again. He goes, all right, we'll play it, but we're only going to do the first line. So then it was the build up, and then he says, "Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Hov." And then he doesn't rap anymore. And he changes the beat. That was it. I don't know if he can sense that people really weren't into it like that. But that would be like the only one that I can really think of off the top of my head that didn't hit like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, just imagine like Just Blaze puts on like, I don't know, Girl's Best Friend or like New
right.
Empire State of Mind, and you're just like, okay, all right, no.
Yeah, come on, man. Like, that's not why we're here.
Was there anything that he didn't do that you wanted to hear?
There a lot of stuff from the first B-sides, really, which I kind of, it makes sense that he didn't. I think the only thing I can think of that he did from this B-sides to the first one was the Pump It Up remix. I mean, I'd have to go back and double check and fact check, but that was the only thing that I could really think of that he did from the first one. And that was when Just was just throwing on beats or whatever.
Gotcha. Yeah, there's Where I'm From.
Yeah, that's right. He did do Where I'm From and stuff like that. But stuff that he didn't do that I wish, I mean, there's a whole list of things that I wish he would have done. It's hard to kind of narrow it down. But that's the crazy part about this. Like, I left that show thinking of all the songs that I would have liked to see him do, and it led me to think that he can do 3 or 4 more of these shows if he wants to.
Mm.
You know, he's got so much content. He's got so much stuff that he really can. He can do, and he was jokingly saying that. You know, one of the things he kept joking about throughout the night with the crowd was like, you know, him, Jay's cocky. I got a million of these. We could be here all night. I got a million of these. And then he just kept throwing stuff on and stuff like that. So I think he'll do another one. And if he does another one, it would be hard for me to say I wouldn't go, because it was a great experience, man. Outside of the stuff leading up to it, outside of standing online for 7 hours, standing up for 7 hours, holding my piss and things like that, it was a great experience. There was no drama. There was no nothing. It was a cool night, man. It was fun.
Yeah, you kind of answered what I was going to ask you, which is, you know, despite the expense, despite the standing, all that, I wanted to make sure that you thought it was worth it. And it sounds like you think it was definitely worth it. You had a great time.
Yeah, it was absolutely worth every penny, you know, absolutely worth any penny. Doc, I don't know. Everyone has their vices on things that they, you know, air quote, waste money on, you know. Armand can tell you I was big into sneakers the majority of my life. He's big into sneakers now. You know, I'm sure you've got like extra studio equipment that maybe that you don't need or something like that. But, you know, people waste money on things, you know. And, you know, it's like if I'm a waste money on something, I might as well make it like a potential once in a lifetime experience that, you know, right. When I have grandkids and obviously, you know, educate them on hip hop and things like that, I can say, you know, I was in the building for Jay's B-side, you know. So it's just one of those things, man. To me, it was really cool, you know, as a Jay fan. It was big, man. It was big. You know, the significance of all that, of him and Nas and Cam and just the whole night, you know. Everybody came out just to, you know, with Webster Hall opening back up and stuff like that. It was a beautiful night, you know. It was an experience. Yes, was it costly? Of course it was costly, but to me, you know, the experience was well worth it. It was worth every penny, and then I would do it again.
Word. All right. Armand, you got any other questions?
Nah, I think we covered everything that I would want to cover for somebody to be in the building. I think, yeah, I'm good.
Rich, anything else you think that people should know about that we haven't?
Absolutely. I'm about to start stashing money to the side right now. If he's going to keep doing this, if he's going to do a shock drop, then I need to like have like my savings and then like a savings for stuff like this. So yeah. I'm going to the next one without question.
The next time is going to be Eve's
elementary school graduation or something like that.
It's gonna be something. It's gonna be something. Somebody's gonna have something, and I'm not gonna be able to go, but I'm going.
Somebody, something. Well, let's see. The last one was what? 4 years ago, right? Was it 2015?
I think it was
right?
15. Yeah.
15. All right. So that's 4 years. Maya's about to be a freshman. It might fall on Maya's graduation.
No, it won't. Then she just got to graduate without me. She'll understand.
I mean, someone can just FaceTime from the audience.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I know she's going to graduate. I don't need to be there to know that it's going to happen.
They don't even really hand you a degree half the time anyway. Like, you know, they mail that to you later.
Yeah, not in high school. It's just a piece of paper. And then we could just Photoshop a picture of me outside, like taking a picture with her. We'll be fine.
Who knows what technology will have in 4 years, man. You'll be good.
Right. I might be able to like time travel there or something.
Got the Armand hologram chilling in the audience. It's fine.
What's up, Coachella?
She's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But yeah, man. Nah, it was a great experience, man. I would definitely do it again. Jay's the man. Tata's the man. Hey, that guy intrigues me, man. I don't know why. I noticed that. I noticed all these big celebrities going up and dapping this little dude up, and he doesn't look that tall or nothing like that. So he just really intrigued me.
He's sitting on something.
He's set for life. Yeah. He's fine. He's not going anywhere.
Absolutely.
He knows way too much.
Absolutely. He knows where the bodies are.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Right. Well, all right, man.
Yeah.
Rich, anything
coming
else?
Coming of age. That was the one off the top of my head. That was the one of the biggest ones. I thought Bleak would come out. He would do Coming of Age, those types of things. And if that happened, I was hoping that he did the medley intro off of In My Lifetime. So there was things like that that I was hoping that he would do, you know, stuff like that. But yeah. But Bleak wasn't there. I was surprised Bleak wasn't there.
Yeah. That is a little crazy. Yeah, I'm surprised. Like, I was thinking like maybe Siegel could have came out for somehow, some way, but I don't know, given his lung, I don't even know if he'd be able to perform.
Right.
Stuff like, I thought DMX would have came out. There's a bunch of different places he could have went. They could have did, we talked about them doing Reservoir Dogs. Like there's a bunch there.
Yep.
If you're doing Bring It On, like you just pieced it up with Jazz, like you, Jazz and Sauce Money could have came out and had a moment. Like, there's a lot.
Oh, he did big up Jazz. He bigged up Jazz O, which I thought was cool. I guess Jazz O was in the building. I didn't see him, but he definitely bigged up Jazz O. And he had a real dope. I don't know. I'm sure considering what B just did in selling her documentary to Netflix and all that stuff. I'm sure Jay's gonna do something similar with this. But there was a part at the end of the show which was one of the cooler parts of the show, and my bad on extending this, but I forgot, I left this out. Jay gave a real heartfelt thank you to the crowd, right? So he was basically like, you know, I appreciate you guys so much. You know, I went deep in my catalog. You guys were amazing. I there was some stuff here that I didn't think you guys would know the words to. And he starts going on how he just, you know, his whole end goal is to inspire people and to make people be greater than what they are. And he goes into this whole thing about how it was very heartfelt. And as close as I was, I can see him in his eyes. He got a little emotional about it. Like, you can see his eyes kind of turn a little glossy. Could have been because he was tired, but I was literally right there in front of him. So I could tell. And I can tell in the way he was talking and things like that, but he was like, you know, I'm far from perfect. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. I'm not a perfect man, but I try and learn from my mistakes and get better. And I just try to inspire you guys and, you know, basically like, you know, just chase your dreams and all those kinds of things. It was real dope. He probably freestyled the talk for maybe about, you know, two minutes or something like that. But it was really dope. And if it comes out, you know, you'll catch that. If it does come out on DVD, you'll catch that portion of it. But I really appreciated that at the end of the night. He was really appreciative. And he even made reference to, like, these are the songs that, you know, he's dreamed about performing. Like, these are things that he's really wanted to do. And last thing, and I'll leave you guys on this. The other highlight of the night for me was him performing the last verse of Lucifer, where he starts talking about Baba Lob. So mm-hmm. Baba Lob was Biggs' brother. And remember, Biggs was locked up, and I don't think Biggs has ever seen Jay perform that verse. So it was cool. So immediately when he starts rapping that verse, I turn and look up at Big, and Big was like, had a big smile on his face. It looked like he really appreciated that. That was really cool too.
So
one last question for you, man. Were they selling any merch?
No, no merch. The only merch there was a t-shirt that said Webster Hall. I said, nah, I'll pass.
No, oh,
that's
merch.
Super trash.
They should. They could have. They could have been out there selling in line.
Nah, exactly. They oddly enough, when you come outside, you know, New York, everybody's selling something. So they were selling the these people were selling On the Run 2 shirts outside. Wow. Like, what are we gonna do with this?
I went to the B-side show, and all I got is an On the Run 2 shirt.
That's stupid.
Yeah, nah. The only thing they did have, they had like a picture stand, which I was by myself, and you know, I wasn't gonna ask somebody to take a picture of me in front of the stand, but that said, it said Jay-Z B-side, so a lot of people were stopping and taking pictures in front of that. But that was the only thing you could really do, as far as like a memorabilia thing or something like that.
All right.
Well,
all right, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. I'll hit you later.
Yeah, man, definitely, man. All right, man. It was a pleasure. Y'all be easy, man. Peace.
All right, later.
All right, one.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.